Hi, welcome to New Zealand Vegan Podcast. I think this is episode maybe 104. I can't remember. I suppose I should go and have a look. What episode am I up to? I don't even know. Oh dear. Anyway, this week there's something that I wanted to cover that I've done. Oh, this is episode 106. Sorry, episode 106. And what I wanted to talk about today was something that I've done on a Facebook post and a YouTube video, because I've still got my YouTube channel going, although it's very sporadic, even more sporadic than my podcast. And it is so, I think I might have even talked about it in my podcast before, when I talked about how there's people will post this, there was this picture that was going around for a while, and it showed how many animal products were in certain things that we don't even know about. Like, it was like this diagram or something, and I was like, that's precisely the reason why we need to promote veganism, not the opposite. But what really got me going this week and the last couple of days over this particular issue, and I'm not sure if, because sometimes I think people who listen to podcasts don't necessarily go on Facebook, and people who you know, look at YouTube don't necessarily listen to podcasts, so I kind of wanted to put it out there in all three mediums. What happened is that on there was a discussion going on, and it was on the Facebook page, which is called Grumpy Old Vegan. I recommend that. It's a really great Facebook page to go and have a look on, and lots of discussions happen on there actually. And the discussion, this particular one, and I'm not going to name any names, and I can't remember any names anyway. I didn't really take part in the discussion, because by the time I just was like, I can't believe this is happening, kind of. That was about my only comment. But what happened is the discussion got derailed, but somebody had mentioned about Alicia Silverstone and how she has this book, The Kind Diet, and et cetera, et cetera. But she very publicly said, oh, if I want a piece of cheese, I'll just have a piece of cheese every now and then. And obviously we think that's, and I've talked about that particular thing before as well, that is so harmful to animals, especially to the cows and the calves, and it's harmful to veganism, and it's harmful to the whole entire cause, and it's not a minor matter at all. It's very, very big deal for someone to do that, especially someone who is recognized publicly, although that doesn't mean much, but she's publicly recognized as like a vegan and the voice of veganism and blah, blah, blah in the, you know, world. Which we know doesn't mean much, because a lot of celebrities, I mean, Ellen DeGeneres is not vegan, so don't say that she is. And if you want to know why, just Google her name and eggs, and you'll come up with an article or two. But, so cut a long story short, people were like, oh, get off, you know, leave Alicia Silverstone alone, there's no difference between what she did, you still use cars and things, there's animal products and a lot of the things that we use, so nobody's perfect, so just, you know, at least she's doing better than, you know, she's mostly, you know, 9 times out of 10 she's vegan, and she only does this every now and then, who cares, what's the big deal? And yeah, I mean, I think it should be really obvious and go without saying that less harm is better than more harm. Yes, I recognize that if somebody eats a lot less, or, you know, very, very little animal products, it's obviously better. You know, but that's, it misses the point. It's the same with the human rights issue. It's better to you know, violate people's rights, you know, 5 times rather than 20 times, but that's not our position. Our position isn't that you should violate their rights less. Our position is that you shouldn't violate their rights at all. And I wanted to, and I wrote a blog post, a Facebook update about it. And I don't know if I should just read it verbatim, and that should just be my podcast episode. I'm not sure. But basically, and I did a YouTube video of it, so this is just for the podcast world in case people aren't, you know, on those other mediums, because I think it's so incredibly important. And the reason is because what happens is, these particular people were arguing that there was no difference, that we needed to stop trying to be so perfect, and we had no right to criticize anyone who says they're vegan and then eats a piece of cheese or whatever. Like, they were basically saying we had no right to speak out against it, because we very possibly have products that use animal products in them, such as plastics and all these kinds of things that you find out about when you're vegan that you didn't know about before. Mostly unavoidable things, concrete, sidewalks, maybe the paint in the apartment that you rent. Very different from animal byproducts, I want to say, in, say, bread or something like that. I'm not comparing those two. Obviously, you can easily avoid animal byproducts in bread. I mean, I would love to live, I don't quite know, like, I'm not independently wealthy, and I tried to buy my computer secondhand because I object to the practices of the labor of the humans and all the electronics industry. I'm holding on to my phone, which is probably my phone, I think, is almost 10 years old now, because I'm trying to consume less and because I'm trying to make these things last. But there is animal products and things that we really can't avoid. I can't afford to not work. So at my job, it took me ages to get that job, and I finally have a stable job, pretty stable. I'm pretty sure I'm safe for a few years at least. I mean, I shouldn't speak too soon, but it's nice because I have two cats depending on me for their very lives, and it's terrifying to be broke and jobless and have these beings dependent on you in the species of society that we live in. So, you know, at my job, I use a computer all day, every day. I sit on chairs made of plastic. I have a computer at home. I have plastics all over the place, plastic things. But there's a very, very big difference, and then the difference is very simple. And I actually, even quite a while ago, went on this horrible blog. It's just the worst blog in the world. It's called Let Them Eat Meat. And I can't remember why I went on there. I only left a comment, and then I was like, you people are a waste of time, I'm not even coming back, where I made the same argument. Because the thing is, everybody, please stop letting people distract you with this. And here, okay, I need to get to the point. The difference between those things is that cow's milk, cheese, and flesh, and leather, and zoos, and all these things are animal slavery industries. Those are industries of animal slavery. You cannot have cow's milk, cheese, you cannot have lamb's meat, you cannot have a leather purse without the exploitation of non-human animals. Those industries are intrinsically, inherently based upon slavery. While it is still immoral and it is still animal, you're still being linked against your will to byproducts of animal slavery with them being in our plastics and things. Those are not things that are inherently dependent upon animal slavery. We're aiming for a world as vegans where nothing has animal byproducts in it. Nothing. I don't care if it's concrete, I don't care if it's paint, I don't care if it's plastics. Nothing has animal byproducts in it. That's what we're aiming towards, and we're aiming towards using less we're aiming towards consuming less. I mean, we do have this vision of being as harmless as you can possibly be and way less harmful than we are now. But we're not even on the first step, which is abolishing slavery. And you don't abolish slavery by excusing it and getting it twisted and mixing it up and falsely mixing it in with these other things, which are out of our control and are not actually based on the products of animal slavery. But there is a difference between that and things that you can easily avoid. If you know where there's alternatives, do you not think that if I knew, like, if every piece of plastic or every plastic good, and I don't really buy a lot of new stuff anymore, and I avoid plastic as much as I can. But where, you know, obviously if there were signs on it saying, you know, this plastic contains animal byproducts and this plastic doesn't, any vegan's going to choose the one without the animal byproducts. Those kinds of things are not labeled. Paint in my apartment, I can't look on Trade Me, which is a New Zealand website, and be like, you know, apartment for rent in a house where there's no animal products in the paint. So there's your option, and I'd go for that option rather than the house where there is animal products in the paint. Those kind of things aren't available. But you can read labels and go to the supermarket and you can read milk contains milk in this bread or whatever, so you don't buy that. So that, don't get it twisted there either. That's not what I'm saying. I'm not justifying that. But there's a really big difference. And so don't let these people, what happens is I see that vegans get very dejected and they get very sidetracked and they get very frantic and they feel like their whole world is crumbling and like they haven't got a leg to stand on. And that's exactly what the anti-vegan people and the non-vegans who are desperately trying not to face up to their participation in slavery, it's exactly what they want to happen. It doesn't weaken our position. It has nothing to do with whether or not animal use is wrong. All it does is reinforce the fact that we need more vegans. But there's just not the same issue when you're talking about direct, deliberate participation in a slavery industry. You cannot have animal milk cheeses without enslaving and exploiting animals for their milk. Same with flesh, obviously. Same with eggs, same with feathers, all of those things. So don't let people sidetrack you with that. Bring it back to the property status. Bring it back to the property status and admit to them, say, yeah, I'm not perfect. I never said I was. There are things in my life that are against my will that probably contain animal products. They're not labeled that way. I'm glad to know about it. I mean, knowledge is power. Don't let it get you down. Let it make you more of a vegan advocate. Be aware of it so you're not taken by surprise when people come up to you and say, did you know that there's some animal products in plastic or something? Then you can be an informed vegan and say to them, yeah, I actually am aware of that and I object to it, but you know what? Let's abolish slavery. The reason that those animal byproducts exist and the reason they're putting them in everything is because there's such an abundance of animal byproducts because we've got this massive industrial slave complex of animal use because people want to drink their milk and eat their eggs and blah, blah, blah. Those are direct animal slavery products. And you know, we have to abolish that. So I hope that helps people. Don't, you know, I keep saying don't, but what I mean is I'm trying to say do. Be aware of this and I recommend using this as a talking point with people because it really does derail people. And I understand that because I was too when I was first vegan and I found out and then people would come to me and say, well, how can you say you're vegan if you're driving a car? And I would be like, oh shit, you know? It's extremely different when you recognize the property status of animals. That's why it's so important to learn the abolitionist approach. Read Gary Francione's work. The problem is animals are property. Animal products, all of them, even the byproducts that are in these things, are products of animal slavery. But we're going to build a world where there is no animal byproducts in anything. There's no animal byproducts used in farming, agricultural vegetables. But and the way we're going to do that, the only way that we're going to do that is that everybody goes vegan. And what that means now is you just go vegan. And when you find out these things that are beyond your control or that you're unaware of, that you might inadvertently be having forced into your life, you know, deal with it and live with it and try to consume less. And if you know that there's an alternative, by all means, you have to do that as you're morally obligated to find the alternative. But don't get that mixed up with participating in animal slave industries and then thinking, well, I might as well just give this up or they're right. I mean, how can I tell that person that they shouldn't eat the flesh and shouldn't wear their skin? You know, yes, you have every right to tell them that's wrong because we're trying to abolish slavery. So it's so important, you know, vegans, this is really, really important because this derails people all the time. Some other people have probably already figured this out and maybe they're listening and being like, yeah, duh. But I didn't. It took me a while and it was a while ago where I was saying it. And there's really no answer for that, you know, and you just say to them, reach out to them, be like, yes, thank you. You know, I knew about that stuff. I want that stuff to end. The way that we're going to end all those animal byproducts in the world is by abolishing slavery. And the first thing you have to do is go vegan. And that means you don't eat them. You don't wear them. You don't take part in their experimentation. You don't take part in their, in these industries, you don't become, you just eliminate yourself as a direct, deliberate consumer of the industries of animal exploitation. So don't ever defend slavery. And when I see vegans doing it, it breaks my heart because it means they have no idea about the property status. They haven't even thought about it. And that's a real shame because the information's out there. Go and read Gary Francione's books. Read his work. Watch the video, Animals as Property. There's a video, it's a 10-minute video. It's a slideshow. I call it a video because it's moving, but it's a slideshow. It's on his website. Just if you don't want to read Animals, Property, and the Law, which I recommend doing, just watch that video and learn about the property status and become an informed advocate. Then you won't be able to get sidetracked. We don't have time to be sidetracked. We don't have time to pull the rug from under ourselves. And, you know, there's just no time. We need to just stay on track. So that's, I hope that was helpful, you know, to anyone. And the rest of what I want to talk about today, this is just going to be a short one, is just more plans. I haven't done my street sale for the longest time. This was my first weekend at home in about 5 or 6 weeks because I mentioned that my mother had an operation and I was spending every weekend there. But I was cooking lots of beautiful vegan food and taking it over there and spending time helping her because she's my mother. And so that's what I was doing. But I've the best things, there's a really new thing that I want to talk about, and that's the Evolutionist Vegan Society. I'm just going to call it TAVS for short, okay? TAVS, TAVS. So there's the TAVS pin campaign, and I'm getting behind it, of course. The Evolutionist Vegan Society is like my dream come true. I've been dreaming about it for the longest time. I didn't even know I was dreaming about it, but I was, and finally somebody's made it happen. And so as far as I'm concerned, that's it. I am so done. And the logo, I mean, I know that sounds silly for me to keep going on about it, but it's such a beautiful logo. It's so gorgeous, and it's so incredibly eye-catching and just perfect. So my street stall, I'm going to have, hopefully, I want my stall to be about the Abolitionist Vegan Society. I want all the street stalls to be about the Abolitionist Vegan Society, but they won't, because there's some people who promote abolition, but they won't promote the Abolitionist Vegan Society because there are some people who only they it's almost like those vegans who promote veganism or who want to promote veganism without actually using the word vegan. There's people out there who want to promote abolition, but they'll never use the word abolitionist, and they never mention Gary Francione. And there are some people who use the word abolitionist but mention Gary Francione in an extremely negative and pejorative way. And then on the other side of the coin, just like the vegan one, there's people who say, oh, I'm vegan, but they're actually vegetarian and stuff. There are people who call themselves abolitionists, and they're so not abolitionists. So once again, everything's all confused. But I tell you what, there's nothing confusing about the Abolitionist Vegan Society, and it's a beautiful thing, and I just am loving, loving, loving it. I'm so, so, so excited for this summer. So the TAVS pin campaign is just a worldwide campaign. It's a pin that you wear, and you know, I know there are people rolling their eyes and being like, you know, it's just like the World is Vegan banner campaign, but you know, they don't understand the power of consistency and the power of a unified message, which is what we've been wanting all along. They're so full of crap when they say we're divisive. We've been trying to unify a vegan movement, and we are unifying a vegan movement. So here we go. I'm just going to go on the website. So it's tavspin.com, and that will take you to you can just type in tavspin.com, and you can order a pin, and it's something you wear on your clothing, and it's got the beautiful logo with the three the person who designed the logo, I believe it was Sarah Woodcock, who actually designed the logo herself, Sarah K. Woodcock, or she commissioned somebody to, I can't quite remember, but, well, I don't really know, but anyway, it's beautiful. It's like three leaves, and it's a red and a green and a blue, and then the logo and the sort of the saying, or the catchphrase is, go vegan, educate others, adopt foster. So for me, it's almost like each one of those represents that those core things. So it's a beautiful design, and it's the TAVS pin campaign, and it's a pin, and it says, I wear this pin as a vegan to protest the grave injustice of all animal use. And I'm going to wear it at my stall. I'm going to get a t-shirt with the TAVS logo. I'm going to have a banner with it. I mean, I just want this, like, want this logo. I want the Abolitionist Vegan Society to become the new Worldwide Vegan Society, but I've already said that. So I'm going to wear this pin, you know, every day forever, basically. And this is, you know, these things take time, and this is going to take time, but you know, it's the concept. I mean, that's what I love about this. It does not beat around the bush. I mean, there's so many other people who are just so wishy-washy about things. I love the Abolitionist Vegan Society because it's exactly how I feel like I want to be. I wear this pin to protest the grave injustice of all animal use, and that's a beautiful thing. It's completely right from the beginning saying all animal use. We're not going into little baby steps or trying to say, you know, it's just about the environment, but oh, it also helps animals and oh, this and that. No. This is very clear message, and you know what? We're going to ripen people up. This is radical. Believe me, the Abolitionist Vegan Society is radical in a beautiful, good way. The way it's Gary Francione's work, basically, collated and put into sort of an organizational thing, which is what a lot of people have been crying out for anyway. So I just am excited about this campaign, and it is actually a campaign because you have to order your pin. So you can't expect Sarah K. Woodcock to pay for everything. She's not a millionaire. So you can pay for your pin. Just go to the website and you can donate $10, and then it'll get shipped out to you. So I'm looking forward to receiving my pin. I'm going to wear it at work. I'm going to wear it on the bus. I'm going to wear it in my car. I'm going to wear it on my clothes. It's going to be just part of my thing, and it's because it's so attractive, this, because it's got this beautiful, the beautiful colors and the beautiful logo. So this campaign, it's a profound thing. It's, if you just put your mind behind it, it's like every, you know, people who roll their eyes at this and who would be like, oh, no, there are people who would wear vegan on their body. This is just like wearing vegan, the sign vegan, you know, this is just as powerful as that. And everybody does that. I mean, some of these people who are so anti, you know, Gary Francione and stuff, they'll have vegan tattooed on them. So, you know, or they'll have what, a number 269 burnt into their skin, you know, so that they go to hospital with third degree burns. So don't tell me people don't recognize the value of marketing, because they do. And it is powerful, and it is unified, and it's very recognizable. It's very, it pops out to your eye. So we're lucky that this is so well created, this logo and everything like that, because we live in a world of visual, you know, this is how people are attracted. So that's the latest news from the Abolitionist Vegan Society's website, and their Facebook page is the Tavs Pin Campaign. And it's just, you know, obviously the whole, I don't even have to say this. It's a grassroots movement, the abolitionist vegan movement. You get out there and educate. But the pin is just a way of, it should be self-explanatory. You just wear it. It's recognizable. You get people talking. You get people interested. It has a very clear message that it's about justice. It's about animal use. And it's the, you know, abolitionist vegan society. So obviously it's about veganism. And so I just think it's a really cool idea. But there's obviously a lot more to come. So the beautiful, beautiful pamphlets are also available for download and printing out yourself. So you can just print your own out. And I've been looking at, and I wanted to mention, I love it when a new vegan stall, an abolitionist vegan stall pops up, and they are popping up, and I love it. And some people are very, very so kind and thoughtful to share their stalls with me, which I really love them for that. And so there's been two new stalls shared with me in the last month, and one of them was from Sandra Cummings, who is the designer, one of the co-designers, I believe, of the beautiful, wonderful vegankit.com. Everybody knows about VeganKit, I hope. If you don't, learn it. I'm going to get business cards printed out of it. And they did these beautiful business cards, which I'm totally going to copy, and I got their permission, which is just vegankit.com. And I'm going to put them inside like the Tavs beautiful leaflets. So Che Martin, I'm sorry if I didn't pronounce your name right, Che Martin and Sandra Cummings had a stall in New York City, and it was beautiful, and they promote, you know, they had the pamphlets, and they promoted their website, of course, Vegan Kit. And then Jen Autumn, and also her husband, and I'm pretty sure it's her husband, I want to give them a shout out, because they sent me a photo of their stall. They've done a stall in Vancouver at Veg Fest, and then they did and they also had a table. So Jen Autumn and John Ben, shout outs for you for your vegan stall, and I've got photos of them on my website, and if you're there on Facebook as well. So you see these popping up, and it's such a beautiful thing. I just am so excited. And you know, I've been learning from these people. That's one of the beautiful things about lots of people doing community vegan education, is you learn from each other. And I realized that I am going to start printing in color. I think it's just so much more effective. Yes, it does cost more, but like, I'll go and print so many pamphlets, and then I won't give them all out at once, because I don't get a huge amount of action at my stall, and nowhere near as much as I'd like. And I'm gonna print out color, and just have, if I have to print out less volume at each time, it doesn't matter. I think I can budget for it, because it just looks so much nicer. So my stall is just full of papers, like you can't even see the table, there's just papers everywhere, whereas these people's stall was like nicely kind of, they actually had photos of the table so you could see, and there's just more, you know, less amount of just black and white paper, and more like color pamphlets and color business cards. So I think I'm gonna do my stuff in color now. I mean, the Tavs pamphlets, you have to download them in color. You just have to. But I'm talking about my own stuff that I'd print out, and even the abolitionist approach pamphlets, I'd print them out in black and white. No longer. I'm going to use up all my black and whites, and I'm going to start with color now, and I'm going to go with that. And then obviously the Tavs logo's in color, so they've got some some sort of slips, I think they called them, which is, I think you can put in letterboxes or something. But I've decided to sort of maybe simplify my store a little bit the way these people have and just have less clutter and just color pamphlets. I'll have less of them, but I don't give out hundreds of pamphlets. I don't have a store where 60 people a day come by, so I can afford to do it over that period of time. And so anyway, that's one thing I've learned from looking at these beautiful new abolitionist stalls that I've seen recently. And so what was I going to say more? Oh, right. And so today I've been finally catching up with stuff, my stuff. And I finally, because I got my delivery of pamphlets from the Abolitionist Vegan Society, or from TAVS, I should just say TAVS, it's easier. And I haven't done anything with them because, like I said, I kind of haven't been home and I haven't done anything. But I finally took some today to the local Whole Foods, and they have a display. I took some of my NZ Vegan pamphlets there, and they didn't really put them in a very nice place. But I think these pamphlets are just so gorgeous and professional looking. So I took them down and I asked them to put the pamphlets there, please. I was like, can you please put some pamphlets here? And I'm going to check up and make sure they did. And I also took down one of the tear-offs. There's a tear-off that's a tear-off meaning, you know how it's like you go to a community notice board and there's like free, you know, like Spanish lessons, and then at the bottom there's the little strips and you can just rip off the person's phone number and stuff. So TAVS has that for one that says, do you think it's wrong to inflict unnecessary suffering and death on animals? And if yes, go to Why Veganism, because that's a sort of like a link that they've linked up to. And then there's a tear off at the bottom with the web address. So I've asked them to put up one of those as well. So I'm going to see if they've put those up, and if they have, I'll take a photo and then TAVS can share it, because we're trying to show people, you know, as many people that we've stuck these things around. So that's at my local Whole Foods store, and I will keep replenishing them, and I will keep an eye on them. And I wrote my advocate ID on the back of the pamphlets, even though anybody who picks up a pamphlet and actually goes on the website, I didn't actually talk to them, but I think part of what the initiative is, what the organization is doing, is it wants to track effectiveness, so that it can, this is what I would understand, is like tracking the effectiveness so that you know whether the methods that you're using are effective, or you need to change, or you need to do that more, or you need to do that less. And it's all about marketing, which is a bit over my head. So anyway, if you've registered with TAVS, you'll know that when you register, you can pick an ID, and then whenever you download anything, whenever you do anything, and whenever you give out a pamphlet, a person can go online and they can say, this is the person who registered, who I learned about things from. And so then it's sort of linking how things are working. That's the way I understand it. Anyway, so I'll keep an eye on that, and I'll keep replenishing those pamphlets. I won't be so slack the way I normally am, where I leave pamphlets and then I never go back. Not with this one. And at the Greyland Library, I left one of the tear-offs. There's nowhere to leave pamphlets at the library, but they have a notice board, so I asked them to stick a tear-offs there, and I'm going to go and check and make sure they did. And there's one other place where I'm going to ask them to put one, which is the community notice board. So it's all very, very local in my area, but I don't really go out of my area unless I do the street stall, or unless I go to visit my mother. I'm not really out and about much. I'm a bit reclusive, so this is the best that I can do. And I was thinking of sticking it to lampposts and things like that, which I'm quite happy to do. But those just get ripped off, like the whole thing. Like, I guess the community cleaner people come around or something, and they just rip them off. So I don't know if it's worth it. I mean, there was even a missing cat. I'm very, very sad because there's a cat in this neighborhood. There's notices everywhere. And the poor baby, she's terrified and hit. You know, they just moved to the neighborhood, and I guess they didn't lock her in, or she escaped. And she's been sighted in the neighborhood, but she's absolutely terrified. And they are frantic, wanting whoever sees her next to try to catch her. And they had a notice board on the lamppost at the top of my street, and it got ripped down. And she has still not been found, because I found a notice in my letterbox the next day. So I know that the poster on the lamppost was ripped down, not because she'd been found, but because people object to that. I mean, I think you should leave one up about a missing cat. I mean, have a heart, you know. But so anyway, I'm not sure. But those are ideas. Go to the website and you'll see these tear-offs that I'm talking about. And you can just download them and print them out. So that's that. So I'm looking forward to doing the stall. God, spring is almost here. I'm just dying to get out. I am going to do my long-awaited recipe booklet that I've been meaning to do, and I've been getting inspiration from Claire is a Vegan. Claire, C-L-A-R-E. She's been doing her own thing, and she's got this. She's in school at the moment, and she's got this initiative going for her sustainability project, and it's all about veganism. So the project is obviously about sustainability, that's the focus, but she's chosen veganism as the way, so that's awesome. And she's actually made a her own recipe booklet. I mean, she did it in like 3 days. I mean, there you go, that's an example. So I'm sure there's some recipes in there that I can use. I'm sure Claire won't mind me using them, I hope not, because she did distribute them out. It's definitely people want recipes. So my idea is when I distribute the tabs pamphlets, if they do put them where I thought they were going to put them, where I asked them to put them in this local store, I'm going to try to slip in a nutrition guide and a little recipe booklet as well, because 9 times out of 10 people ask us for recipes, but I'm like, go on the internet or buy a recipe book, you know. But I know it's nice to have something for them, so I'm going to do that. So yeah, plans, very, very exciting, loving this. So there'll be photos to come, and there will be more things to talk about that, and I will be have more stories to talk about from the stall, and I'll let you know how it's going with the promotion of tabs, and I'll hopefully have some pointers for that, and we'll see, you know, hopefully we can all share and learn from each other about, you know, the best way to sort of unite the world into an abolitionist vegan world. That's the ideal. So, and it's just starts now. Like, the thing is, like, it just don't worry about how many we are or how many we aren't or what's, just do it. Just do it, do it, do it. Just, that's all you got to do is just do it. And as long as you do it every day, things do change, things do happen, more people do join you. But if you give up, or if you expect to measure it the way welfarists measure petition signings, then you're never going to start, because this is a radical, we're radical, and we're the new thing, and we have to get people used to us, and they're going to love us, because they really believe it. I don't know if I mentioned Gary Francione's book on the last podcast, but oh my god, if I didn't, that's really slack. I'm sure I did. The book Eat Like You Care, eatlikeyoucare.com. It's just full of a really, really great, I mean, it's just a really, really great way to help advocates learn more about how to advocate to people. And it examines, and it's all about the morality. Okay. It's not about health or diet. It's not focused on that. It's all about morality. It focuses on eating animals, but it focuses on the morality of it. So it's like, if you think it's all about not eating them because it's immoral to hurt them, therefore it automatically translates to everything else. But Gary's philosophy has, for a long time, I mean, he's just said, look, as long as they're on our plates, we're not going to get them off our backs. We're not going to get them out of the circus. So don't get it twisted that it's about presenting veganism as a diet. It's not. I don't care what people are out there saying. People just get so stupid. They just look for any way to just try to criticize, I don't know, whatever. But it's a very, very, very effective, useful book. It's $10. It's an ebook, and you can download it, and you can read it on your computer, and you can gift it to people. And I'm going to be promoting it at my stall for people to go home and read. And I would be happy to gift it to them. Like, I'm still trying to be a much better effective advocate at my stall. I need to stop being so reclusive so that I can get out and get together with these people, because I meet people at the stall who want to stay in touch and who want to go out and have like lunches and things, and I am so antisocial that I just never do it, which is not necessarily conducive to keeping the ball keeping the momentum going. So that's sort of a personal thing I need to work on, and I'm going to just work on it. So yeah, anyway, that's all the news that I have for this week. It's been very exciting times and very exciting week. And I've done, I did a YouTube video today. Like I said, I did a Spanish YouTube video and I'm going to do a Spanish podcast next because I love speaking Spanish, even though I do it pretty badly. Thanks so much for listening. And please keep sending those beautiful photos of the new abolitionist stalls. I love them, love them, love them. This is the revolution, the nonviolent, radical, beautiful revolution. All right, everyone, have a wonderful week or month, and I will be back. Thanks for listening. Bye.